Praise God. We're doing a series on boats, and I was asked to do one. And it's in Matthew 14 and verse 22. But before I start, I believe God has put a message in my heart. I believe it's for one or two or maybe more in the church. And I don't feel this is an ordinary preaching as such, but I believe God has a message in it. And I'll just pray and ask God that, you know, that the ears that need to hear it will hear it by the Spirit of God. Praise you, O God. Father, I just thank you, you're the Almighty God. I thank you, Lord, that you're the God who speaks to us. You're the God, Lord, who comes and lives with us, in us, O God. And Father, I pray that our ears will be open to hear the voice of you, the living God. Father, I pray, Lord, that Father, you will take, Father, what is of your Holy Spirit, and Father will bring it alive. And what's not of your Holy Spirit, I pray will just fall to the ground. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for who you are. In his name, amen. And I'm going to bring us on a journey. And you know, with this part of this man who I'm going to talk about, there's a part in the Bible, and I think it's tremendously tragic and tremendously sad. I'm not going to go into it now, but as I go along, we will come to that part. And we will see what can happen when we allow, you know, the calling of God on our lives, you know, to be cut through by fear, by the devil or whatever. But I want to go to Matthew 14 and verse 22. And it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, for the wind was strong. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And he cried out in fear. Now, this was expected. If you're out in a boat in the middle of a sea, and you see someone walking, it's not normal what you see, right? So you can expect that when they seen Jesus walking underwater, it was 3 o'clock and around that time in the morning, and when they seen him approaching them, they didn't know what was happening, and they were terrified. Immediately, Jesus... When the disciples saw him walking, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And I want to just stop there. And in this big picture, Jesus had heard that John the Baptist had been martyred, and we see the effect on his heart if you read previous to that, right? He wanted to get alone to be with his father, and you know, he tried to do that, you know, but the crowd heard he was gone, so they followed him. What hit me was, even when he wanted to get alone with his father, he heard that this man who had prepared the way for him, who had baptized him, was now dead, murdered, martyred. And so inside, he just wanted to be alone with God. But the crowds came. And we know about that he fed them. Thousands were fed, right? And what got me was, even when he was there, and he wanted to be alone with God, but when people came, he received them. But the apostles wanted to send them away. Were tired, it's late, let them go, right? When you come to man will always send you away. But when you come to Jesus, he will never send you away empty. And that's a lesson we can learn. And God's Holy Spirit walks through man. If it's a spirit-filled man, you can be fed of the Lord. But it's Jesus who meets our needs. Man will send you away, but he never sends away. And so you see that. So it says here, you know, did he put them into the boat? And it was almost where he ordered them. Didn't tell, look, get in, ordered them, get in the boat and go away. And what was happening was that the crowd, now were looking to forcefully make him king. And all this was happening, so we put them away, right? So when they went away then, and I just thought when I was reading that, it touched me heart of who Jesus is, the love that he has for us, the care that he has for us, that even in his own pain, say, or in his own time, he still has, if you go to him, he's there to receive us. But what I want to look at is this guy, Peter. Who was this man? Who was he? And when we read about him, we find out that God done amazing things in his life. And God gave an amazing commission that really stands out from the other 12, or from, you know, from the other 11. And we see that his name, he was Simon, but Jesus named him Peter, or Petrus, which means the rock. So he received a name from the Lord, and the name was, you're a rock, Peter. And then when we look at his profile, or look at his CV, the modern term, he was the leader of the 12. He didn't just take that position. It was given to him by the Lord. He was among the first of the apostles to be called by Jesus. He appears first in all biblical list of apostles, Matthew 10 and verse 12. He was probably the first apostle to see the resurrected Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5. He was part of the inner group, especially close to Jesus, John and James. So he was with Jesus. He was in that inner circle with the Lord, right? And then it says he was the first to confess that Jesus was the Messiah or the Holy One. Jesus surnamed, as I said earlier, alone the rock upon which he would build his church. He was the preacher at Pentecost when 3,000 were saved. He was the one who received the vision which opens the way to Cornelius and other Gentiles. And this was huge. We haven't got time to get into here, but this vision that he received was a huge revelation of God given to him. And he moved in that, right? And then after the council there, and he was the speaker in this regard at the Council of Jerusalem. And then after the council there, Peter disappears almost completely from the biblical picture. And it says that the best evidence indicates that he died a martyr in the time of Nero in Rome, which was a fierce persecution of Christians. And then it says in Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, we see first that he had a call of God in his life, and a great call of God in his life. And we see that he was an ordinary, unschooled man. And he didn't have a biblical degree. He didn't have a high education. He didn't have a great standing in the social circles of the day. And we have to understand that the call of God is not on who you are outside of Jesus Christ, or the standing or the education that you have. The call of God is when God calls you to a purpose that he wants you to fulfill, and he equips you, he gives you the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit of God. He empowers you, he anoints you, he gets you to do what's impossible, and he makes it possible. And it's good if you go to Bible college. These things are good to do, and we need to do them, and we need to do these things. But it's not a condition of the call of God on your life. And irrespective of where you are in the social standing of today, and I hate using these terms, upper class, middle class, working class, lower working class. What does all those terms mean? People are people. And to God, those terms mean nothing to God. Nothing. God calls who he will call. And these things mean nothing to God. But to man, sometimes we can pour a value on them over and above what we should do. Now, what was important too, that faith was there to receive the call. And when we see that Jesus came and called Peter, it says that he went immediately. What he was doing, he dropped it and he followed Jesus immediately. Faith was there. Faith received the call of the Lord. Now, we see this Peter then moving in great faith in Acts. He raised Dorcas from the dead, heals a man crippled from birth, and it says in Acts 5 and verse 12, the apostle performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. So you see, the power of God was moving in incredible ways in Peter. And Peter's faith was flowing. It was a flow. And if you read Acts, he's all over up to chapter 15. Peter's all over the place. He's mentioned. He's at work, faith walking. He's raising the dead. He's healing the crippled. He's preaching. And he's involved in all sorts of different things. But then, I want to go back to the bow here now, right? And what I want to look at is the attacks on Peter's faith. And there was times in his ministry when these attacks, crucial times in his ministry, when these attacks won the day over him. And where that the attack of the enemy succeeded. And sometimes we don't like to hear that. Sometimes we don't like to hear that, that our faith can be overcome. And Peter was a senior leader. A senior leader. He was a leader of leaders. He was called out. He was one of your top men. And he was the top of the top men, if you want to put it that way. And he was brave, and he was bold at times, and he loved the Lord, and he stood for the Lord. But what I'm going to go through here, to me, is tragic. Because at crucial times, his faith did not hold. His faith gave way. And in the first one, it talks about that Matthew 26 and verse 31 to 35. And it talks about the Lord going to his death. And it says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, now sometimes I said, Peter, why didn't you just listen? Because Jesus was prophesying here. And some of the prophecy he knew, he said, after I had risen, he knew he was gone, but he knew, God was going to raise him from the dead. And he said, listen, you are all going to be scattered. You will desert me, but I'm going ahead of you. And Peter didn't listen. Peter replied, even if I'll fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth. Jesus answered, this very night before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he didn't even listen then, right? But he says, but Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And it goes on then, where it talks about that Matthew 26. And this is where one of the places where his faith failed him. Where his words came back to haunt him. Then he began to call down curses on himself. And he swore to them, I don't know this man. Then Peter remembered Jesus' words and wept bitterly. So we see here that when death was facing him, and it was at that time, he could have very easily been put to death with the Lord, that when it came, his faith, he was, and I believe he was, sincere. Lord, I'll never disown you. Lord, I will die with you. But when that was put to the test, it failed. And Peter knew it failed. It says he went out and he wept bitterly. He was in a terrible state. He knew, he seen this Lord. He caught Isaiah, says, and he wept bitterly. And that was one part where his faith failed him. And then, what I want to look at, the next one I want to look at is where the fear of man overcame him. And this was hugely, hugely crucial. But before I do that, I want to go back to the bow. And when we read in the bow, it says of him, Peter said to the Lord, it is you. Command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now we see here, doubt overcame him. Jesus had commanded him to come. And what he was commanding was to get out of the boat. And Peter had seen the Lord move in tremendous ways in the recent past. He'd seen him. This was just after when he had fed the 5,000. And previous to that, they were in another boat when a storm rose up and they were terrified. Jesus was in that boat. And he settled that issue. And now he was calling Peter out of the boat. And God, and to Peter and the apostles, that was the place they knew. The place of safety. They were fishermen. They were confident in the boat. They knew about the seas. They knew about storms. They knew about all that stuff. And they were confident, right? Now, Jesus was calling Peter out of the place where he was confident. And for senior leaders, that could be a church. Could be confident in the boat you're moving in. And you could be confident in your abilities in that boat. But Jesus can call you out of that boat. And the call can be tremendously difficult call. Because he's asked you to get out and walk on water. And put your total and utter trust in him. When you were in the boat previously, even though the storm, they were still in the place where they felt up to a point that they had their feet on solid ground in some way. And Jesus was in the boat with them. But now, Peter was called out of that boat. And it was Peter that was called. And he got out of the boat and he walked towards the Lord. But he didn't have enough faith to believe that Jesus would keep him in an impossible situation. Because what he was doing was impossible. Goes against all the laws of nature. He couldn't do it. Peter, in his own strength, could not have done what the Lord called him to do. He had to totally, utterly trust in Jesus Christ, trust in the Lord's power to keep him. And it did keep him to a certain part. But then it says fear and doubt. And he looked around and fear and doubt overcame him. And where did Jesus put him? Jesus put him back in the boat. And you know, I believe Peter never got out of that boat after that. I think that's tragic. I think these were crucial times in his life when the call of faith, and it was a tremendous, I'm not talking about an ordinary call here, I'm talking about where a senior man was called by the Lord. And that call was an impossible call. And Peter genuinely tried to respond to it. But his faith didn't hold up. And he sunk. And you see here in the previous one, he didn't conquer fear when death was looking him in the eye. And he didn't conquer fear here when the call of Jesus came to him. And he had to get out of the boat. And his faith failed him. And our faith can fail us. And I know that I'm not saying I don't have the call. And I'm speaking to myself here. I've known my own Christian life. And I can go back over where there was times when my faith failed me. There was times when I should have spoke up for the gospel. And I remained silent. And I knew I'd done that. I knew the consequences in my heart of doing that. But I tried to learn from it. And try to next time say, I'm determined that will not happen again. And God gives you the grace in this situation. If the faith's there, God will meet the faith. But the faith has to be there. Sometimes we're in the boat, and Jesus is calling us out of the boat. But we want to put out a fleece. But when we look at it, what we're doing is putting preconditions. Now, Lord, I have to be sure. Now, Lord, because if I step out of that vote, I need A, B, and C in place first, Lord. And I want to make... Now, there is a time when you pour out a fleece, and it's good in God, and it's right, but make sure it's not a preconditioned fleece. Where Jesus is calling you out into the impossible, but you're saying, well, before I get onto that sea, Lord, I want to make sure I want, you know, the safety raft there, I want to be wearing a life jacket, I want to be doing all these things. Right? And it's putting preconditions on the call of God. And God will not answer that. You will stay in the boat. And you'll be in the boat forever and a day looking for these preconditions. Because what God's calling you to, the faith of the impossible. And the faith of the impossible does not operate in the preconditions. Because that's where fears operate. And God wants us, if we answer that call, and I have to say, I'm talking here about a senior call, right? Men and women that God's calling into deeper waters. But that call is for us all. We all have to start a journey somewhere. And we get to the place where when we're young in the Lord, we can have the safety jacket. And we can have all this. But we get to a place where God says, no, you must trust in me now completely. You must get out of the boat and you must walk on the water. And Peter didn't do that. So we see here, twice his faith failed at crucial times. And I believe if he had have walked to the Lord, I don't know what the implications were, but I think his future in God would have been totally different. And I'm being very, very careful saying that. And I think I have scriptural, evidence to back that up. So when we look at that, I'm just going to run through these notes here. Now, a crucial time then that Jesus failed. This was really the third time. And it had huge implications. And it's a huge situation. I'm just going to read and it's in Acts 11 and verse 1. I want to give a bit of background history into this, you know, before I get into where Peter failed. And I said, the apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. Now, this circumcision group were Jewish Christians, and they were a powerful group. And if you look at Acts and look at the history, they were constantly attacking the gospel, you know, the truth of the gospel, constantly trying to say the Gentiles must come under Jewish law, they must be circumcised. And this was a constant battle right from the early church. And Peter was involved in this. And it says that the circumcision group who believed that circumcision was necessary for salvation, they had the potential to distort salvation by grace alone, divide the body, and be an argument for development two separate assemblies, one for Jews and one for Gentiles. And then, so when we see here then that this group were attacking the gospel and the truth of the gospel and salvation by grace alone. And if we look at Peter then, and I'm a bit lost here, so you have to bear with me. Peter then in Acts 15 and verse 5, it says, but some of the sects of the Pharisees who had believed stood up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. So we see here that the Pharisees were involved in this circumcision group. And they were very, very strong in saying that the Gentiles must be circumcised and directed to observe the law of Moses. So that's the background, right? Now, if you look at Peter received revelation from the Lord with a red O, with Cornelius and with the Gentiles, right? And God had given him specific revelation from the Holy Spirit that salvation was to the Gentiles. And Peter came and he spoke on that very, very strongly. So he was in a position where he had received revelation. He didn't need, God had specifically spoken to him and had given him revelation. So that when we get to the third time when his faith had failed, and this was hugely serious because there was a strong argument going on and a strong battle going on between the circumcision group and between those who said, no, salvation is by grace alone. And in Galatians 2 and verse 11, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Now, this was hugely serious. This was the Apostle Peter, who was called by Jesus Christ to be leaders of leaders, who had received revelation of the fullness of the gospel, that was not exclusively for the Jews, but that it was a gospel for all the nations. And he had already spoken on this by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. But here he was now in Antioch. And this group was a really powerful group of the Pharisees. And when Paul came, he seen Peter and Barnabas, the Jews, intimidated and overcome by fear. Now what I tried to do was this. What made Peter do that? What got into his head? Here was a guy who had raised the dead, who had healed cripples, who had been commissioned by the Lord, who had been called out, a leader among leaders, who Jesus had named the Rock, who was in the inner council of the Lord. What brought him to this dreadful place where the truth of the gospel was under attack? And he allowed fear and intimidation by the group that was attacking the truth of the gospel to overcome him. And it says that Barnabas, the whole group were moving in that direction. And it was Paul, the Apostle Paul, who publicly had to stand up and challenge Peter and say, what are you doing? You know what you're doing is not right. You know what these are preaching. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of grace by faith. You're allowing these people to try and bring in the law to corrupt the gospel. Now, where was Peter at? How could he have got himself into this? And I'm being careful here, because Peter disappears from the biblical record after that. You watch in chapter 15 onwards. It's Paul, 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 Paul. And Peter disappears. And I believe that Peter done himself tremendous damage here, because this was a position he should not have failed in. This was a position where he should have held the gospel, led it. He had done it, God revealed it to him. Now why? Why did he end up in this position? I tried to get into his head, tried to say, why would he have ended up here? Because this, I can't emphasize how serious this was. It was hugely serious. And it's a huge consequence. He was answerable to God. God had given him revelation. He was called out to be the leader of leaders. So how did he get himself in that position? And I believe one of the keys, and this is my own thought, was the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were the educated group. The Pharisees were the ones who, your upper class or whatever, right? They were the educated ones. Peter was unschooled, an ordinary man. And he wasn't a coward, because he had preached to the 5,000. When he was told, you cannot preach in this name again, he said, who do we obey? You are men. And went on and preached. So it was a different type of fear. It was a fear of inferiority. A fear of saying, I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm uneducated. So when he stepped into a world of educated people, he became intimidated. He pulled back. He let these people take the ascendancy. And the call of God is not down to your education. It's not down to where you come from in the social order. It's not. The call of God is the call of God on ordinary, uneducated men or highly educated men. It doesn't matter. What God's looking for is faith in the heart to receive the call. That's what God's looking for. And what God is calling senior leaders at that time is out of the boat and to step on the water and to trust in them, whether they're educated or not educated. And Peter was in this position. And I believe, and I believe, and my heart was really touched, because when you read this guy, you get to love him. Right? But then you see him in this horrible, horrible position. You could understand when he got out of the boat. You could understand when he was faced with death and he couldn't, you know, so he couldn't look, you know, Jesus in the eye, and he called down, of course, you could understand that, because fear, that was a real fearful situation where he was having to put his life on the line. But here was different. Here he was among his own as a senior leader. And allowing these people to come in to corrupt the gospel. I don't want to repeat myself, but I need to get this across. To corrupt the gospel that he had received revelation on and had preached on and had stood for. And it's where in this house the call of God is the call of God. It doesn't go on your educational attainment or whether you have 10 biblical degrees or Bible degrees or whatever. They're good to have, but that doesn't condition the call of God. The call of God is where faith is found to receive that call. And when the call comes, it's a journey. And you're in the boat for part of the journey. And you might stay in the boat for all of the journey. Because not everyone enters into that position with the Lord, into his inner circle. Right? But if you enter into that deepness with God, that walk with God, the day will come down when there's a call to get out of the boat. And I'm putting myself, I'm not up here putting, I don't know if I could answer that call. It's all by grace alone, right? But what I'm saying is a call comes one day to get out of the boat. And what is the fleece we put out before God? Is a genuine fleece to say, Lord, I need to be sure this is the call. Because when I step out of this boat, I need to know you're in it so I can walk in this water. Or is the fleece preconditions that we put before God? We want certain safety nets put in place. And I believe that's the message in this church. I believe God has put that message in my heart. And what I came today was we're a message, not to so much preach from the Word of God. And what I would say is that when you look at Peter then, and you know, he died a martyr for the faith in Rome. And he gave his life for the gospel. But he's seriously done himself damage here. And I believe the call that was on him was not fulfilled. I believe his destiny in God would have been totally different. And when you see this, when all this, you see Peter disappears from the biblical record. And this man called Paul, he steps into the breach. And I'm not making Peter was Peter. I don't know if the test comes what I would be able to do or not. And that goes for us all. Because we're all at different journeys with the Lord. And there will be times when in that journey with the Lord we have a choice to make. Do we step into the purposes of God? Or do we allow fear to overtake us and step back into the boat? The place where we know it's safe. I'm comfortable in this ministry. I'm well educated, so I can do this no problem. Or something, right? Where you know, wherever. And we all want to stay in the boat. That goes for me. Honest about it. Because it's the place you're sure of. Your place you feel safe in. You know what's about. You know how to handle stuff. But the place of getting out of the boat and totally trusting in Jesus, it's the place of the deep waters of God. And I believe this, that you go so far in the boat and you can go your whole journey in God in the boat. I'm not saying that God is saying nothing against that. But there is a journey in God that's out of the boat. And it's that place where what's impossible, your trust in God to make possible. And that's not an easy place. And you don't get there. There's a journey on that. But for a senior leader, the call will come one day. Where do you want to be? in the bow or out of the bow. And that call doesn't come to every leader, because God knows where the faith's at. And Peter, you look at Peter, it was Peter that called to the Lord, I want to go there, Lord. I want to be there. I want to get out of this boat, Lord. So he was calling from a heart. I want to. And Jesus says, come, Peter. This doesn't bar anyone as such. Because Peter was in that position where God had touched his life. God had brought him to this place. And he stepped out, but then he ran back to safety. And that's where I want to end with. And I believe it's a message for one or two or three or four in this house. But it's in a general sense, it's a message for us all. That this walk with the Lord is a walk of faith. And faith is not tested in the bow. Remember that. Faith is never tested in the bow. You can be sitting in the prayer room praying for 1,000 years, God, I want to. Faith is getting out when the real storm comes and you're walking underwater. Faith is something you have to step. It's not, do you know what I'm trying to say? You can't stay there, talk about it. The test comes when you step out into it and the storm comes and all that comes. Do your knees buckle and, you know, you want to run back in again, right? Or do you say, no, I will trust in Jesus.